It is good to be with you here today. It is good to see each one of you here as we come here to meet with the Lord. I know that He is pleased to see us here. My sermon today is about God's love. And God's love, we know, is unconditional. And the definition of unconditional is not limited by any conditions. It is absolute. It is pure love. And you know, God has this same love for all of mankind, for everyone in the world. He loves everyone, whether they're good or whether they're bad. They are His children. We're all God's children. And we know how we love our children, and we want the best for them. God wants the best for each one of us. And this is the perfect example of love that God has set for us. A perfect example. I want to start by reading some scriptures that describe God's love. Now let's start in John chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17, a very familiar scripture to all Christian believers. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We see that God the Father loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son to suffer and die on that cross for our sins so that we might, if we live a righteous life, have that opportunity for eternal life, to spend eternity with Him. And we see that, and obviously we know that Christ was willing to do that. That Christ had that love for us, that He was willing to suffer and die on that cross. But we see all this was, you know, it says in verse 17, not to condemn the world, but through Him might be saved. That's the desire of God the Father in Christ, that all would be saved. But to be saved, we have to live that righteous life and follow after Christ, His teachings. Let's look at John 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We see these are Christ's words, a commandment that we love one another as Christ has loved us. And He tells us here, no greater love than to lay down your life for us. And we know that Christ did that. He laid down His life for us. These next four scriptures I want to read, they're taken from Lehi's and Nephi's visions. I'm going to skip around here a little bit between these two visions, and we're going to read about God's love. The first one is on page 47, and it is 1 Nephi chapter 4 and verses 62 and 63. And it says, wherefore, the wicked are rejected from the righteous, and also from that tree of life, whose fruit is most precious and most desirable above all other fruits. Yea, it is the greatest of all the gifts of God. The greatest gift. We see in the first part of this, it kind of, you know, defines this a little bit. You know, it says the wicked are rejected from the righteous and from this tree of life. The wicked are not going to make it to that tree of life. Only the righteous, those that follow after God. Now let's look and see what it describes, what this greatest gift is. Let's turn back to page 29. And here we've got 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 69. And it says, and this is part of Nephi's vision, and it says, "And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God." We see that's what this is. This greatest gift, this is the love of God. And we know if we read more into this vision, it talks about that there was a rod of iron that led to this tree of life. And we know that it is the Word of God. The Word of God is what will take us there. Understanding what the Lord has said to us, His commandments, and following after them, that will lead us to this tree of life, to that love of God. Now let's look at on page 28, just a few verses back there, and we're going to, this is in 1 Nephi chapter 3 also, and it's verses 63 to 65. "Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, Yea, and the most joyous to the soul." So we see here it describes this love a little more. It said it is most desirable above all things. And we know that in this world there are innumerable things that people desire, aren't there? The temporal things, the spiritual things, innumerable. But this love of God is the most desirable above all things. And it also said it is the most joyous to the soul. A wonderful thing. We read in chapter 4, you know, it talked about that fruit that was on this tree of life. And it said it was most desirable above all other fruits. So let's go back to page 20. And we're going to read 1 Nephi chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 49 through 52. "And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever had tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all whiteness I had ever seen. And I partook of the fruit thereof. It filled my soul with exceeding great joy." We see this describes this fruit that was on this tree of life. And they represent this pure love of God. And we see that this love, it was the greatest of all gifts. It was the most desirable above all things. It filled the soul with exceeding great joy. The fruit was sweet above all others. The fruit was white to exceed all other whiteness. The purity of this love, which is what each one of us need to be seeking in this life, to make it our priority, our main priority. It is the most important thing. Let's look in Moroni chapter 7. Verse 52. This is on page 768. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Here we're talking about the word charity, but we see it's described as the pure love of Christ. And it says we're to cleave onto this love, that means to hold on to it, just like we held on to that rod of iron. Hold on to that charity, that love. Again, it says the greatest of all. And it says, for all things will fail. All things in this world will fail, but not this love. And if we're found possessed with it at the last day, it says it will be well with us. What a wonderful promise that is for each one of us. I want to turn now to John. Chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, and then I will skip down to verse 26. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. We know this is talking about let's go ahead and read verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We see here, this is a gift that came from the Father. And I know the Holy Ghost works in people all over the world. But here, those that have been baptized into the Church of Christ and have the laying on of hands, they receive this gift of the Holy Ghost that will dwell inside of us. And this is, you know, this is part of the love of God and Christ. That they have given us this Holy Ghost, that it would be there with us to guide us through this life. We need somebody to guide us, don't we? Because we can get lost. It's easy to get lost for any of us. It's easy to be complacent, to get discouraged. The world today, I'm sure there are many people that are discouraged. But we have this guide to help us through. But we have to listen to it. We have to listen to it. And it will tell us what to do. It says it will teach you all things. Bring things to your remembrance. It'll speak to our minds. It'll guide us, but we have to listen to it. We have to listen to it. It's a gift from God because He loves us, because He wants us to succeed. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. He wants all mankind, the most wicked person on earth, He wants them to succeed. Because they are His children. I guess for me, the best way that I personally can describe the love of God is in three spiritual experiences that I have had in my life. Two of them are dreams. And one was an administration. And those three times, I was engulfed with the Holy Ghost. And it's hard to describe. But it was an unearthly feeling. Something that I did not want it to ever end. I wanted to feel that the rest of my life. Nothing else mattered. No thoughts of any worldly thing. Just knowing that the Lord was there. Knowing that He loved me. Me, an unworthy, sinful creature. I know His love is great. It's all powerful. Something we need to seek in our lives. We know that God loves each one of us. He set that perfect example for us to follow. Perfect example. And we need to strive to have this love in our hearts. That should be our desire. To draw closer to that love that God and Christ has for us. You know, I think of the love that I have for my grandson, Titus, who's a year and a half now. And I have that pure love for him. And I cherish the time I spend with him. But you know, this last week, I questioned my love for him. I realized that he was a year and a half old, and I had never made homemade ice cream for him. Now, how could a loving grandfather do that? Well, I remedied that yesterday, and he had homemade ice cream for the first time. But you know, I'll be 70 years old this year. And to be honest, sometimes it makes me sad to think that I won't live long enough to see him grow up. I cherish the time I have with him, but I know this is the cycle of life. My parents, they would have loved him. But they never had the opportunity to meet him in this life. And I know my dad, with Titus at a year and a half old, he'd have had a fishing pole in that boy's hands. Some children are asked, what does love mean? What does love mean to them? Here are some of their answers. Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Sacrifice. Is that love? Of course it is. My wife, all through, kids were little. There's not enough of something. She goes without. She takes a smaller portion. Always willing to make that sacrifice. Noel, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy, the 7-year-old, when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. She liked the shirt. He wanted to please her. Lauren, age 4. I know my sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. I'm sure there are a lot of ladies in the world who would love this option, to give away their old clothes. But in her mind, this was her sister's possessions. These are her clothes, and she was willing to give them to the little sister and have to go out in the drudgery and buy all new ones. This is interesting. Nika, age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Pretty interesting for a 6-year-old. We know that we are not supposed to hate other people in the world. We're only to hate iniquity and evil. But the world is full of hatred today. And think how much better the world would be if everyone decided to love better, to start with someone. I don't want to say hate, but to start with someone they didn't get along with, there was a division, whatever. A mother asked her 3-year-old son this question. And 3-year-old, I think he was close to 4, but he looked confused at first, But she described what it meant. And he repeated just one word over and over what love was. Mommy, 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 mommy. I'm sure mommy was the main caregiver. Sometimes it might be the daddy. But that was love. Believe me, little kids know what love is. From a very small age, they know exactly what love is. They can feel it. And I can feel the love for my grandson. I know he loves me. And their love is pure. They don't care what we look like. Doesn't matter. They don't care if our breath stinks or feet stink, whatever. They don't care. They know we love them and they love us. Bobby, age 7. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas. If you stop opening presents and listen. Pretty profound for a 7-year-old. Love in the room. Listen, you can feel it. Let's look at some scriptures about the love that we need to have in our hearts, that each one of us need to have. First John chapter 2. Verses 15 through 17. Here we see in this first one that the Lord is warning us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. if we're putting the things of the world first, we're not loving the Father. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We know the things of this world will pass away. But we also know that there are many temptations out there for each one of us. And it's different for every one of us. We each have different weaknesses and different temptations. But the Lord is warning us to love, not the world. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. The Lord is trying to direct us. We have the words. We have the word. We have the scriptures in the Bible and the Book of Mormon that tell us what to do. Tell us what not to do also. We have the Holy Ghost directing us in our lives. It says to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. That is what the Lord is telling us to do in our lives. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 22 and verses 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And in Luke it says, and with all thy strength also. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We see again emphasizing the importance of love. You know, it all rolls up into these two commandments. You know, if we're following these two commandments, we'd never, ever commit a sin. You know, if you have that great love for the Lord and that great love for your neighbor, we'd never sin against either one of them, ever. But we can know, as mortals, men, women, we struggle sometimes, fall into temptation and commit sin. When we do that, we need to repent. But the Lord has given us these two great commandments, and all the other commandments roll up into these two, and they involve love. Let's look at John chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 15 and 23. This is a very short, simple, all-encompassing scripture. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's how we show our love for God, by keeping his commandments. And 23 is similar. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, that sounds kind of wonderful, doesn't it? That last part. if we're willing to keep His words, that He will come unto us. Come unto us. And make our abode with Him. To dwell with us. I mean, isn't that what we're looking for in this life? To dwell with God? What a wonderful thing that would be if we keep His commandments. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, verses 7 through 9, and then verse 16. And some of these scriptures are very similar, but they just give a little bit different aspect. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Again, emphasizing this importance. To love one another, to love God. And it says that if we do that, we're born of God and knoweth God. And know what God wants for us in our lives. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 35 and then 38 and 39. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us? These things have separated people in the past. Tribulation, distress. I mean, the world's in distress right now. Persecution, famine, nakedness. All these things are the things of the world, things of life, things that can happen to any one of us, these things. But it's saying, who can separate us? Who can separate us? These things can't separate us. Separation would have to come from us. It would have to come within. Yeah, these things may disturb us. They may create great difficulties for us in life. We've seen this for the last 2 years. We can't let these things lead us away and trouble us. But only we can do that. Only we can make that decision to separate us from God. And unfortunately, we've seen people that have done that in the church. They have separated and walked away. But that was the decision that came from their heart. But for us, we need to remain firm and steadfast. Not let these things of the world lead us away. There's much deception out there. We must remain strong. In John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things which I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We know that Christ followed the commandments of God the Father perfectly, did everything that God the Father asked him to do, exactly as he asked him to do. And Christ is asking us to follow him, to follow his commandments. And we need to strive to do it to the best of our ability. We're going to trip and stumble and commit sin. We need to be quick to get on our knees and repent. And to have that desire in our hearts to keep his commandments, to follow after him, to have that great love in our hearts. And if we do, there's great promises for us. On page 352 in the Book of Mormon, we read in Alma chapter 10, verse 29. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at that last day and enter into his rest. This is the promise. If we have that love of God in our hearts, that we will have that eternal life, that we will be lifted up at that last day and enter into that rest. I know that's what each one of us wants. We look forward to that rest. And it is available to each one of us. I want to close today by telling you about a lady that I met in Fry's on Thursday when I was grocery shopping. And when I go shopping, I come in the door there by the pharmacy. I make my way back to the corner where the cleaning supplies are and then work my way across. As soon as I walk in, the alarm's going, you know. And so I'm heading back that way, and I run into the security guard, and I said, you know, what's going on? And he said, well, somebody went out the emergency door, and apparently they're doing that all the time now. That's how they're robbing the place, you know. They gather all their stuff up and out the security door. I guess this happens all the time. In fact, Jared was there a few days before that, and the alarm was going off then. So apparently this is common. But anyway, I'm back there, and, it's pretty bad. You know, it's loud, and some lady came over, and she turned it down so it wasn't near as loud. And I'm in this aisle, and I look down there, and there's another lady, you know, down there. She's wondering what's going on, you know, and I tell her what happened, you know. And I look at this lady and I think, you know, I know this lady. I recognize, I know who she is, I think. And but we, you know, had a little small talk, and I went around the deal, bend and left. And so I'm going up the next aisle, I'm thinking, I got to talk to this lady. I'm sure I know who she is. I got to talk to her. So I come around the corner. I asked, you know, I said, your face looks very familiar. I said, where did you work, you know? Well, she had worked in, which is where I thought she was, she'd worked as a receptionist in our dental office. And for many years, she worked there for many, many years. And I don't even have any idea how many years, 25 years, I don't know. We had that dentist for a long time, and she probably worked there for 25 years. She was always there when we came in. And then for the last, I don't know, she left at one point, maybe 7 years ago. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Maybe 7 years ago, so I hadn't seen her for that amount of time. So we had just a little, you know, she said, oh, yeah, she said, well, what's your name? I said, Dwayne Ely, and she shook her head, you know. I mean, I'm sure she recognized the name. I don't know if she recognized my face or not. So we just had a little small talk, you know, a little get together. We'd seen each other. I told her, so nice to see you, and this and that, you know, and we went away. So I'm over about a third of the way through the store, and I'm thinking, I got to talk to this lady again. So I found her in another aisle. I said, I got to tell you something. Every time we went in there, she was like a breath of fresh air, a shining light. She was so nice, so kind, so professional. Like she was family. My sister will verify this. When I told her I saw her there, she said, oh, she was so nice. That was her first comment. I told her this. That's my exact words, but I told her how she made a difference to me of being that person. And the next person that came in, the next receptionist, was not like that. They were not like that. So I told her this. And she thanked you. She thanked me. And of course, she had a smile on her face. She always had a smile on her face. And she says, do you know Jesus? And that answered all my questions. Of course, she was nice. Of course, she showed that love of Jesus Christ. And I said, yeah, yes, I know Jesus. And we talked a little more. And she said, you know, it's a dark world out there. We need to be a light and to make a difference. And we talked a little bit more, and then we parted ways. But that explained all those years. Never, ever was she not that shining light. She always showed that love. I have no idea what her denomination, but I do know one thing. She's serving the Lord. She's making a difference. I told her, you're making a difference. You're making a difference in the world. It makes a difference to me when I go anywhere and someone is kind and has a smile on their face. As I go throughout the world, I try to be kind to people I see, wherever, in the grocery store, on the airplane. I try to be kind to them. And I know it makes a difference. I know in the airline industry, I've had more than one tell me that that you made my day. Just with a few kind words, nothing extraordinary. I guess one way we can show our love. It says to love our neighbor. Love God, put God first. We know that we put God first. Love our neighbor. I mean, our neighbor is everybody. Our neighbor is the world. We can make a difference in the world. Sometimes people, I've heard people say in the church, you know, what can I do? What can I do? You know, and be kind. Be kind. Show people love. It makes a difference. These are my thoughts today. I thank you for your time.
Let's go ahead and turn to 136. Please stand and we'll conclude our service. 136. I forgot to remind me, but I remembered tonight during song service, we have a program that we're going to try to do here in, I don't know, next month or so. We're going to learn some songs tonight, or we're going to do some songs, kind of some old country-ish gospel songs that a lot of us know that aren't in our book. And we're going to form a program activity, something like that around. So if you would remember that, we'll be doing that during song service. Would you please bow your heads? I'll conclude our service here. Father, I'm grateful as we consider the love that you've shown us, that you have been with us with health and with safety. You've blessed us, Father, with family and friends, with those, Father, who may not share any relationship.